simulations, shopping, and security apps this week on the Android App Addicts podcast. Hey addicts, welcome to the podcast. This is Android App Addicts, episode number 494. We are podcasting live on a Thursday. It's just myself, Eric Ardini, the manager, and the door-to-door geek, Steve McLaughlin. How you doing, door?
Welcome to 2018, Eric. Hope you had a peaceful, pleasant new year.
I did. I had a basement full of teenagers. I took it really easy. I didn't do much personally. Just kind of hung out upstairs and ignored. Just stayed out of the way.
I was hoping you were going to say that you left the house.
No,
I wouldn't want to be anywhere around that.
Yeah, well, it wasn't too bad.
Eric, please, when we're done the show, look up these two words: plausible deniability.
Oh no. Yeah,
just saying.
Right. We did just pass a new anti-harassment ordinance at the city, though, so we're covered by the new state statute.
Okay.
Well, we have Dennis Hastert was our state representative, and, you know, he's Speaker of the House, and he's now...
The hell does that mean to anybody outside of your area?
Well, he was the next one in line if the president and vice president got shot.
Oh,
and, okay. And he sexually abused dudes at a college.
So he was perfect for politics? Hmm? So he's your normal politician? Is that
correct? Yeah. So Illinois had to pass some new law that we all had to pass to make sure everybody, you know, does the right thing. So here we are. We're doing the right thing.
All right.
Because doing the right thing didn't come naturally before. So now we have to pass a law to make sure we do.
Well, you do know why Chicago was originally named the Windy City, correct?
No. Not
be- had nothing to do with the actual
it
wind.
It is windy there.
No, it's actually like the number 8th windiest city in the U.S. It's not windy at all.
That's still windy.
Because the politicians wouldn't stop blowing hot air. That's why it's called the Windy City, because it was the most corrupt for politicians city.
It's not. So we're good now, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Don't look any deeper. Yeah, you're fine.
Yeah, we're fine now. It's all good.
Yeah. For New Year's Eve, since it's a double dipper, I guess, for us, it's New Year's, but it's also my wedding anniversary. Me and the wife went to Fogo de Chao. On our anniversary, we always go to a nice place, and by a nice place, it's the kind of place I don't want to go the rest of the year because it's too expensive. But we took the kids for a change, and it thankfully was half price for each of them because otherwise, you know, not good. And the kids absolutely loved it. Because of my diet, it was very easy to stay low carb, low sugar, because it's a Brazilian steakhouse buffet. And so it's nonstop, all you can eat meat.
Oh, nice. Was the food worth it then?
Oh, really good. I mean, if you like lamb, chicken, sausage, steak, you're in there. You're going to get the best of the best.
I've only had lamb once, and that was on an Amtrak train on the way to Minneapolis, Minnesota.
The biggest downfall to lamb is I think it's the most sensitive to cooking. Where beef, the right seasoning, yeah, it's all good. Lamb, if it's not cooked right, just isn't good. I was blown away. My 9-year-old said his favorite of the whole night was the lamb. Huh.
No, I've had heroes. Does that count as lamb?
If it's actually done with lamb, sure. Okay.
All right. Well, I've had lamb more than once then. I lied. Typical politician from Chicago. Sorry about that, everybody. Maybe we'll pass a law about that.
If that was what I think it was, somebody might get spanked tomorrow.
What? Oh, yeah?
Thought I heard a kid. Yeah, I mean, except for that, I had, a normal, okay, New Year's Eve. Listening to a lot of the pre-CES hype, the only thing most of the people can agree on is there's going to be virtually no phone news whatsoever. Seems like most of the phone companies keep their things for Mobile World Congress, which I believe happens in a month or two. But everyone is expecting there to be a unbelievable girth of assistance. Smart this, smart that. More things to listen to you and, you know, play music, I guess.
Microsoft going to bring their dual screen phone to CES?
Considering that was just publicly known as a patent, my guess is in the normal phone mechanics, it takes around 20 to 30 months for a phone to go from development to being a real device. If they were to bring anything to CES, it would be purely prototype, and we wouldn't see it till next year.
Oh, well, then yeah, they'll bring it, show it off, and never bring it out.
Oh, well, and the only thing I'm sure of is doesn't matter. It would never be successful. It's Microsoft.
I might have a Microsoft app tonight.
Congratulations.
I know how you like those. Speaking of apps.
Well, they're just bad. They're just bad. I've never seen one that does anything any good, unless, of course, they bought it from somebody else. They bought the company.
But they look nice.
Okay. That's one of those things, Eric. We got to all learn the difference between beliefs and facts.
Oh, okay. Vista looked nice.
That's not
a
fact.
With its Aero interface, Vista, it looked nice. It just didn't work.
No, I think it looked horrible. I think it looked like a bad cartoon.
What about the clamshell Apple laptops with the fluorescent or the clearish blue?
I think that looked like a Fisher Price toy.
Okay, so it's not good though.
No. If I was a kid, I think it's fantastic.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, hey, you know, I was just talking about the renter who was trying to call. He just tried calling again.
Nice. Genius.
That's why we turn our phones down right before the show, right?
Oh yeah.
All right, so Brazilian steak, is it seasoned Brazilian-y? Is it, what makes it Brazilian? Brazilian cows?
No, I'll say in normal meat fashion, the higher the quality of the meat, the less seasoning you need. So the sausages were well seasoned because they're sausages. If not, they taste like nothing. The steak, the beef parts had virtually no seasoning on it whatsoever. The chicken was definitely marinated. The chicken, the bacon-wrapped chicken was also definitely marinated. The lamb, I think, had something on it. I don't know. All I know is it was damn tasty.
Could you get fried chicken there? Was that on the buffet?
Hell no. Brazilians don't do no fried chicken, apparently.
I'm just wondering if they mix it up a little bit or if it's all authentic or whatever, you know? Sometimes you'll get, you know, even at a Chinese buffet, you'll get some French fries or tater tots in one of the bins.
Okay. Well, first off, the Chinese buffets, nothing about it is actually Chinese. It's Chinese-American. Just like Mexican restaurants in America are not Mexican, they're Tex-Mex. The Brazilian, I'm sure, is not Brazilian. I'm sure it's Brazilian-American hybrid to be more American-friendly.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we got a place called Touch of Thai, which is a restaurant, not a verb.
Well, and to me, that would be a pretty appropriate name and description of restaurants in the U.S. For them to be truly authentic, most of the time, they'll be immediately shut down by health code violations because other countries handle food completely different. Not bad, just different.
They did wait a long time. I mean, they have actual Taiwanese people who are Thailandese. What is it? Thailanders? It's Thailand, not Taiwan.
Thai-ish?
Anyway, they had to wait for a Thai. I'm going to call him a Thai. They had to wait for a Thai to come over to be the chef, and they couldn't get one for quite a while, delayed the opening of the place. But she's really cool. She's nice. She cooks some good food.
Oh, that definitely helps.
Speaking of addictions.
So, I was going to say, except for food, what else have you been doing?
Well, ever since about 6 o'clock tonight when I saw a Google Hangouts, or was it an email? Whatever. Door.
It was an email.
Door. You know, the show is called Android App Addicts, but we don't always have to go all the way. My first app tonight is BBTan 2 by 222%. Door to Door Geek said, "Hey, Eric, look at this." So guess what's installed on my phone? Another BBTan. So I went all the way through the first level up to the bonus round. I didn't jump up to the second level because I didn't have that much time. It is similar to the old BBTan. For some reason, the BBTan weird alien dude is locked up in jail, and you got to bust him out of jail in all the levels I've played so far. If you're a BBTan fan, or if you like the app called Balls with a Z, this is right up your alley, same kind of thing. All the hit points on squares, you hit them with a ball, and squares go down in hit points until you knock them out. Don't expect any more game apps. You know, I've been bringing a lot of game apps, so don't expect any more for a while because I'm just going to be stuck on this one for a game. And then maybe I'll have another intervention. We'll get rid of this game app and I'll move on to something else.
Well, here's the question. One, there's no video for it in the Play Store, which means it's obviously of a higher grade, higher quality. It's by 111%, 11 percentage sign. who are the same people who did, I believe, at least one or two of the other BB10 games.
All of them.
Okay. Well, yeah. 146 reviews, 4.4 average reviews, updated January 2nd, 2018, between 10,000 and 50,000 installs, version 1.0.3. So it's still new.
Very new. Yep.
It does have in-app purchases from $1.99 to $139.99.
Dang, alrighty. That's crack price.
That is. Here's the real question I have. Is this a point release? Would you say this is nothing more than a enhancement of what you've played in the past? Or do you think this is some kind of definite, like, reimagining new thing going on type of game? And if you've never played any of these before, I mean, how would they even understand what the hell this game is?
You could, it holds your hand through the first levels. You could easily start with this game and never play any of the other ones. As far as a point release, I would say maybe. I mean, they've all the BB10s have the same, you know, dynamic behind them. This one, they do add a couple, you know, little things like rockets that you can use instead of just a ball. They've kind of taken it to the next level. Yeah, and it's not so much a game where you're going to play for a week straight on the same game. This one is a lot of smaller mini games, and then you kind of work through levels more. So I guess it would be a 2.0 because none of the other ones worked that way before. They weren't different rounds like this one is.
Gotcha. And it says about playing with friends, at least in one of the screenshots, but nowhere in the features section does it mention anything about that.
I haven't seen that. I haven't played the game much. And I don't have much for friends. So but that would be kind of neat, I guess.
Well, here would be a good feature for at least some Android users. Save your play on the cloud so you can save progress, nuke and pave your phone, and be right back where you were without root or anything else.
That's something you never needed to worry about before unless you wanted to save your high score because that's all you were fighting against before. Now with it being levels, yeah, I can see where you need that.
Gotcha.
There's a pretty scary screenshot, though, with him. I don't know which one it is. It's like it's a big picture of the alien guy, and his eyes are like burning out. It's kind of weird. I don't know if I like that. It looks like Superman with
Eric,
a B.
I love you. I'm pretty sure almost everything you've brought, at least once or twice a month, has been pretty consistently weird. Which then, because of that, would make it not weird. It would make it perfectly normal.
Yeah, but
not weird.
Yeah, but when you're used to a lovable character, and then all of a sudden he looks scary. It's hard to take. It's odd, though, when you bust him out of jail, he cries. I don't know, it's different.
Well, Tears of Joy. Obviously.
Oh, that's true, Tears of Joy, yeah. So
you can't assume
if you guys liked BB10, BB10 too, it's only natural that you would have to download this and play it for a while.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you for the early heads up on this, though, Thor.
No, it didn't. No. I would just rather you hear it from me than just randomly, you know, stumble across it. Hopefully now as a team, we can move through this and we can regulate it properly, even though I'm an anti-regulation kind of guy.
I'm glad it didn't come out before the holidays. Let's say that.
Oh,
that would
yeah.
have been,
Good
I would
point.
Have been over in my corner the whole time.
So your New Year's resolution, play more BB10.
Yes, that's easily. Oh, from. Yeah. Yeah, great. Yeah. That's super. Okay.
Right. Okay, what I'm going to bring next is something completely different. I just found this today. I just dabbled with it. I have to keep looking. I have to keep this on my phone for weeks to even believe if not it's doing a good job. I'll say that. It is called Fluctuate, FLUCTUATE, Universal Price Tracker by Bunim Kalakak. I don't know. E for Everyone, 28 reviews, 4.1 average reviews, updated January 3rd, 2018, between 1,000 and 5,000 installs, version 3.0.6, in-app purchases between 99 cents and $5.99. I believe the in-app purchases just remove the ads or say thank you. This is a price tracker, and this is the one golden thing. Okay, I use Camel mm-hmm. to monitor Amazon prices, but there's a dirty trick they can do, which in the physical stores would be come out with the same item but give it a new UPC number, so it would appear like a new item even though it's the exact same thing that was there before. So with Camel, I can only go to Amazon, get the URL of a very specific item, put it in Camel, 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 and follow that one item. If they change UPC numbers in Amazon, I lose all history. Or if there's two or three items with the exact same name, I can't track them all at one time. I got to track three separate things. I'm hoping this will let me put in a name of something and track that instead of a unique identifier for each item, number one. And then it's just a question of just verifying over time if it's keeping up to date on what it's doing. The only thing that makes me hesitant and worry these days, because everybody is out for eyeballs, everybody is out for clicks. It's turning into a very dirty, dirty market out there. The big, for instance, is you have people putting up links in videos, in articles, masked with shortened URLs that go to Amazon links when in fact they actually have their affiliate code deep embedded into that link and you don't know it. You go there, then for the next 30 days, you're donating to that person. Mm. You don't even know it. Things like that are going on. And this has a buy now button inside the app. Mm. So the first thing I would do is open up this link in my Firefox Focus browser where every time it's launched, the cookies get cleaned. And I would examine the URL fully and see if it does have that affiliate link in it. And if it does, I would then, for all time in the future, anytime I open a link from here, I would open it up in Firefox Focus because I want to be utterly aware and actively support the people I want to support when I want to support them. I don't want it to be seemingly random.
Smart move. Yeah. I mean, it's not bad if they're making a decent app to throw them a bone. Either that way or with supporting them monetarily on the side, you know.
Well, they're not going to do disclosure. Nobody does disclosure. True. In fact, everyone actively circumvents and lies about it. If the app, as soon as it opened up, would prompt and say, every time you access an Amazon link, we're going to insert our affiliate link. Are you okay with this? If they asked that question, I would hit yes, and I would open it up normally and spend my money. But they don't do that. Nobody does that. Nobody will ever do that. No one has ever done that. They won't do it.
I hear what you're saying. You know,
I'd rather just give them one time dollar
amounts. So you haven't opened the app up yet?
I did, and there was no first time thing I saw giving me notification of affiliate link. And when I see a direct buy now button for Amazon, 99% of the time it is, let's say, tampered with to include that affiliate link code.
Do you see a search where you can search by name in this app then? So where you can, you know, do a more generic search of like, say, if you had a model number and they had three different listings in Amazon for that same model number.
I only saw an ad button. I didn't go through the entire process yet. Okay.
I had a little scare with Amazon. You know how last episode I talked about, you know, leaving Amazon Prime and trying to save money and not spend so much money on Amazon and all this stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I hit the unsubscribe button for Prime, and it's like, hey, what about your Prime photos? We've got 140 gigs of your stuff over here. Wouldn't you like to maybe do something with that? I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess so. So I started downloading them. So you can download your stuff, right? Almost like Google Takeout, but Amazon, one more reason why I'm running away from Amazon. Amazon makes it difficult to get your stuff back. They made it so difficult, I ended up paying them $50 to keep it for another year.
Oh, my.
I can't do it. They make you download it in 5 gigabyte chunks. The download app that they have for it stinks. It's horrible. You can't download, it's almost impossible to keep an idea of where you started and where you stopped downloading. And, yeah, nothing can be over 500 files or 5 gigabytes. At a time.
That is ridiculous is what I'll
it
say.
Is. And then, so now I've got a downloads folder on my computer where I'm downloading all this stuff in 5-ish gigabyte chunks. And I would say I got 20 of them right now that say failed network error and I got to hit resume and hopefully they start downloading. And I have if that fails, I have no idea where in my list of files that one was. There's no real good demarcation because all it is an amazon files.zip for each 5 gigabyte.
So when you're browsing the interface to do downloads, mm-hmm.
It's a
Can you view like hundreds or thousands of files on a single page?
No, it's a folder structure. It's the same way as I put it in there, I think.
And when you click to download, can you click to download a folder or individual files?
You can click to download a folder as long as that folder doesn't have anything in it that's bigger than 5 gigs, or total isn't bigger than 5 gigs, or doesn't have more than 500 files on it.
And if it is more than 5 gigs, what happens when you try to download that folder?
It says, error, this has got more than 5 gigs on it.
So then how do you download
it? So then you open up the folder and select less files individually.
So the files themselves are not clickable. You have to click like select, 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 and then click download.
You can click one at the top, scroll down, hit shift and click, and it'll select all of them between the shift, you know, to multi-click.
Okay. The one plugin I would ask you then to investigate is Down Them All. It used to be called Download Them All. I believe now it's just called Down Them All. Unfortunately, I believe it's a Firefox only extension. But if you go to that page, click Down Them All on your bar, it will basically scrape the entire page, find everything on the page that is downloadable, and you can literally just say download all, and it will one at a time. You can say only download two files at a time, so only download two, and then when one finishes, it goes to the next one, and then when one finishes, it goes to the next one, and it keeps going down. That might be a way.
Okay.
I guarantee you there is some kind of browser plugin that directly circumvents this, because this sounds like an extreme shortcoming, the kind of shortcoming that really should have been fixed by them, I don't know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago?
As a user, it's the kind of shortcoming that says, hey, we're not playing nice with your data, give us 50 more bucks, because you're going to be super frustrated and probably yelling at anybody who comes in the room with you for the next 3 hours while things aren't downloading. And then after all this, after I'm done downloading them all, if I get them all downloaded, if I get everything downloaded, which I have no way of knowing what is and what isn't downloaded, if I get it all downloaded, then I get to go through and unzip every one of them to see what's actually in them all.
Well, here's a bet. Now, is this on, I'm guessing, ACD, Amazon Cloud Drive?
Yes.
Okay, here's a horrible solution.
Amazon Drive. It's what it's a www.amazon.com. Yeah, Cloud Drive. Yep, you're right.
Amazon Cloud Drive Link Extractor. I've never seen this before. It's a 99-cent Chrome extension that you can download. It will scan the page that you're on and suck out all of the links and download them.
Kind of like what you're saying down a mall would do.
Yeah, but it wouldn't shock me if there is purposeful Amazon secret sauce on the page to purposely try to hide the links.
Yeah, I'll investigate this. See if it gets good reviews and stuff. If people are having luck with it, it'd be worth it. I already paid the $50, so I've got a year to do it now. I don't have to rush into it anymore. Right. I'm still going to cancel my Prime subscription. And now I'm going to feel less bad about doing it because of this issue.
Yeah, I'll say every service I've had this similar kind of issue, and to me it's always a sign of a non-mature interface where you have to download stuff in big blocks or upload stuff in big blocks and then come back. You have to maintain meticulous accountability of where you're at each time, or else it's very easy to either double download or to skip entire sections. So somebody has had to figure some kind of solution.
Yeah. I don't feel like it's that. I feel like it's, because I don't think it was nearly this difficult to upload this stuff. I think I put it all in a folder, and it automatically uploaded everything in that folder.
Well, yeah. I've had tools where to upload isn't near impossible, but then to download is fine, or to upload is perfectly fine, but then to download is ridiculous.
It makes me feel bad. I just think that it's really a way to make sure you don't take your data somewhere else.
Jeff's a rich guy for a reason.
Yeah, yeah, I know. And the thing, I don't know. I feel the same way. Where am I going to go? I'm not going to take it to Dropbox. I feel they're the same thing.
Google, cheap.
I know.
$9 a month. A terabyte, 10 terabytes?
I paid so much for the year. Yeah, I think it was like $10 for 10 terabytes. And yeah, that's where I'm going, because my phone's Google. Everything's Google. I mean, I'm sure I'm going to get the sore taste in my mouth from them someday too.
Or you can get a mini computer like a Odroid XU4, install own cloud on it, go to a site service like No IP register for free, get a domain name, point it to your home WAN, and then just buy a hard drive. Then the problem just becomes, what if your house catches on fire?
Yeah, see, that's my whole thing. I wouldn't mind just putting it all. And in fact, there's a feedback thing. I'm like, Amazon, could you please charge me $100 and just mail me a USB hard drive with all this stuff on it? You know, why wouldn't they just do that, offer that service? They could sell an extra hard drive to everybody. But then I got to hope the hard drive stays good.
I'll say the only philosophy I can tell you with absolute assuredly what Amazon does is hire as few people as possible. They want as few warm bodies as possible everywhere, and that would require a warm body.
Yeah. Yeah, it would. Yeah. I don't know. I don't see what...
Well, but then, there is no perfect solution, I will say that. But two, if you want to entertain the idea of an own cloud, Eric, there is possibilities of us, if you want, having a federated system to where, hypothetically, I have a 250 gig hard drive here. You have a 250 gig hard drive here. 120 gigs of your drive is mine. 120 gigs of my drive is yours. And we basically cross-pollinate our files. So we would have to have disasters at both houses to actually lose all the data.
And we're duplicated, like raid-drived across the country with each other. That's a good idea. I wouldn't be a bad idea.
Well, I'll say I believe it works. I've never actually set one up, but I believe you can have federated Nextcloud instances or federated own cloud instances, which will do that.
Maybe that would be a good reason for us to get into the Nextcloud that people have been telling us to do for so long, you know, and just to dip our toes in the Nextcloud, even though own cloud's working just fine.
Own cloud's working just fine. And I got a real nice guy in, I'm not sure. I think he's in Florida. He sent me a box.
Richard Hughes?
No, another Richard Klein. Inside the box is a barely used Banana Pi Pro with a SATA port for me to try to upgrade my system. Ah. So I have the hardware here.
Low miles, slightly used.
Doesn't matter. I've had this Banana Pi Pro that's running for virtually 3 years straight with zero non-planned downtime is the way I've
Yeah, no, it's been a trooper. We use it for everything. It's great, great product. Well, let's see. I'm going to bring an app. Since we're talking about things that suck, I'm going to bring this app from Microsoft. Even though I don't know if it sucks yet. I haven't used it enough. I think when we're together, Dor, next month, we'll get a chance to use it. That doesn't look like a good link. Let me try that. Nope, it is. Okay, so this is called Outings, Discover Beautiful Places by Microsoft Corporation, Travel and Local, rated E for everyone. It's got 29 great reviews, 4.4 stars, and it's been around for a lot longer than January 3rd. Around for long enough, it should have a lot more reviews, good or bad, by now, but nobody's really using the Microsoft stuff, I guess. So basically, it's like if you're in an area, you open this app up, and it kind of shows you pictures of things to do around you that are cool to do. Okay. And beautiful pictures of the things. I don't know.
Well,
build your bucket list. See what's now. It's personalized for you. You can discover new places. It's called Outings. High-quality travel stories about beautiful places from travel blogs and other places.
Okay. Really quick. Mm-hmm. Again, there is a big difference between beliefs and facts. High quality travel stories. That's definitely not a fact. About beautiful places. Beauty is always in the eye of the beholder. From travel blogs. I'm going to throw up in my mouth.
When I was looking,
searching for outdoor adventures, we're going to Orlando.
Yeah. So
there's no outdoor adventure. There's probably no historical sites.
Okay. So
city life.
I did do
kid friendly activities. What, Eric, is this?
I did. Well, I like kids. I did look.
Check, please.
I did an Orlando search, and basically it came up with a Wonderworks, which looks like an upside down house, like a upside down White House, you know, kind of thing, a tourist attraction. You know, Orlando's full of tourist attractions. The Harry P. Lou Gardens. I'm sure it's 50 acres of roses, orange groves, and desert plants. Skeletons Museum of Osteology, more than 400 complete animal skeletons, Manello Museum of American Art, Tibet Butler Preserve, which is the national, it's got natural scenery of Florida. And it, for some reason, it gives me that Harry P. Lou Gardens, again, same picture, but now with a diverse plant collection, not just, whatever it said the last time, 50 acres of roses. So that's kind of weird. Lake Eola Park in the middle of downtown. Orlando Science Center, Gatorland, Orlando Museum of Art, twice now, right? Now, it did have the Orlando Eye, which gives you a spectacular view from what looks like to be a large Ferris wheel.
Well, we saw that, I think, in the when we were Google mapping going around. That looked like it was less than a mile from where we were staying.
Yeah, yeah, we might have checked that out.
One, I ain't driving nowhere.
No, we can't drive nowhere. We don't have a car.
Exactly. Two, more than likely, I will be honest with you. You suggest any of these places to me, I will tell you, when you're done, meet me over here at this bar.
Yeah.
Because I mean, without sounding dumb, Science Center. Baltimore Science Center, while I hate and despise this city and it's an atrocious pigsty of inhumanity, the Science Center is one of the best. That's what
Baltimore,
everyone else
not
says.
Not the Science Center. Baltimore is.
Baltimore's Science Center. Well, the Science Center is nice, but it's also the place where my dad got falsely accused of police assault. And then little did the people who accused him know there were actually cameras watching him. And my dad not only got vindicated for it, but the other persons had to serve 3 months in jail because their claims were so false.
At the Science Center?
Right in the parking lot of the Science Center, yeah. When I'm going to Orlando for a podcast conference, I don't want to see no flowers or garden. And now in Portland, we did. It was different because that was Martin Obando, the local, the native.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to go. I've got a rose bush. I'm good on roses.
Right. The guy who couldn't pump his own gas up until a couple of days ago.
Isn't that funny?
it was great. He took us around and he showed us some of the gems that no one knows unless you live here kind of thing.
Right.
Of course, one or two of them other people knew about, but we had no idea.
Right.
That's different because that's a friend taking time out of his day, showing us part of his life. But for me and you to just randomly walk up, I'm from Baltimore, you're from the Chicago area. What kind of flowers you got here?
If Cherubino pulls us aside and says, hey, this flower eats animals, like you feed cats to it or something, which Steve would never show us a cat eating plant.
No.
But,
well, if he would, it would just be to stay away from it.
Yeah, that's true. I would go look at that though. They do have the Titanic artifact exhibit. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, if you're a traveler,
do they have the board?
And you need pictures of stuff around you. What?
I wonder if they have the board that the girl didn't let the guy come up on, and so he drowned and turned to
ice. The experience invites visitors to explore history in a replicated environment, complete with actors portraying famous characters aboard the doomed vessel. 17 gallery interactive museum. I'm thinking, I bet you that board is the whole play of that little scene you just played out in our minds is probably, it's probably recreated.
I have to believe they're about as talented as what Bill and Ted were in the movie. Like, righteous dude, you're drowning. I mean, we're talking Orlando here. This is not the hub of theater.
Don't worry, Scro. Boats always tilt to the side like this.
Right, exactly. No, I will pass. And if you even show me a Microsoft app on your phone when we're down there, I love you. I will smack your phone out of your
hand. I would expect no less. I expect no less.
And I'll say this. The app doesn't look bad, but just because of that, I guarantee you they didn't make it.
Mm, yeah, that's the point.
They bought it. Other people made it. They bought it and said, hey, look what we did. It's totally awesome.
Well, yeah. Yep.
And Google does have a trip app built in. That I always have installed. I only use a little bit. There's been multiple studies that show if you take pictures of where you go, you will remember it less.
Right.
Because the instant you take that picture, you give your brain a, okay, you don't have to remember this because we have a picture. So your brain does. It just happens. So when I go on trips, I purposely don't take any pictures. I mean, ever. I don't try to document where I'm going. I don't try to over plan where I'm going either. I like to say, what can we discover? So when we're down there, I might literally just turn on my phone and say, okay, Schmoogle, show me points of interest. And it will show me within like 2 miles interesting places, and we'll look at it. And if we're bored, we'll say, well, this ain't far. This sounds okay. And then go check it out. But to actually plan it out or take suggestions from Microshaft.
Yeah, cool places that have beer would be just a fine Google search.
I would expect half of the places they suggest either don't exist anymore, they give you the wrong address, they've turned into dens of iniquity, or
what?
They're like now turned into clinics offering shots for tetanus and gonorrhea or something.
What dens of iniquity?
Dens of iniquity. It's an old Bible term for a place where you go rent a lady for a short period of time.
Well, I got to say, the chat room's not a real big fan of this app, so we should probably move on. They're talking about things they would and wouldn't do with this app that has nothing to do with installing it.
Okay. Well, the app I'm going to bring, I really want to talk about, just get a conversation started about this, okay? It's called Haven Keep Watch Beta from the Guardian Project. E for everyone, 1,371 reviews, completely free to download, no in-app purchases, no in-app ads, 4.0 average reviews, updated December 29, 2017, between 100,000 and 500,000 installs, current version 0.1.0 beta 5.
Is this the Snowden app?
Okay. It says it's offered by the Guardian Project, yet all the postings I saw said Ed Snowden wrote an Android app. Which, me, I first stop and think, when was Edward Snowden a programmer?
Yeah.
From everything I saw, he wasn't a programmer. He was an admin. Admins aren't programmers. Programmers are not admins.
You know, he's had some time on his hands for the last couple of years, though.
Don't care.
Probably internet access.
Nobody, the first time out in security programming, is going to make something that's actually secure. This is not Major League Baseball. This is not Ken Griffey Jr. first at bat home run. This does not happen in the security field ever. It never will happen. Security is much, much more complex than standing there and hitting a ball. Okay. Security is an unbelievably complex moving target. You have to know the history and the future of where security is going to have any idea on how to make something actually secure. If he wrote anything, I will never install it on my phone because as far as I can tell, he has no experience writing anything except for email. So this app will never get installed on my device.
And you may not be able to trust him because he worked for a company and he kind of turned on him, or company, well, government, whatever.
Well, I don't
care.
Not
saying that he did the wrong thing, but.
Well, I'll say this equally, Eric. I don't care who wrote it. If it's a first timer, I don't care. I don't trust it. The only way I trust this app is if the source code is open and it's independently audited by a third party that I have previous relationships with or know about, or people I trust have relationships with and know about, and they give it a very clean bill of health. But this kind of app, number one, will kill your phone, okay? It's meant to spy. You take an old phone, you set it in a secure area, you turn the app on, it leaves the mic on, the camera on, the sensors on, it leaves everything on. So it will destroy your phone with overuse. It will destroy your battery. It will cause your phone to overheat and everything else.
But it's an old phone that is not doing anything anyway.
Well, that's why this is an extremely incompetent use. This is like taking a rubber band up to a batter's box and saying, I'm going to hit a home run with it.
Well,
you're using the wrong tool for the wrong use case.
Well, okay, so is it better in your drawer doing nothing? Or could it be out here? It could monitor your dog if you want to just see what your dog or listen to it yip or something.
It's better to use as a couch computer, or it's even better if you take all of your AKA smart devices, all your stupid spying, prying Alexa, Google Home devices, you put them on an isolated network, away from your banking activity, away from your social activity, away from your email activity, away from your viewing habit activity, away from everything on its own network. Then you take that old phone, you connect it to that old network, and you use it as a controller mechanism for it. That's a much better use case and will make you much more secure than this app ever possibly could. Anyone who blindly trusts Edward Snowden is just as foolish as the people who instinctively said he needs to be shot in the head.
Yeah, I don't know about that. So when I heard about that, I'd never looked into this app at all. I just kind of glazed it over, the Edward Snowden app, okay, whatever. So I figured it was some kind of an app, just on my own, you know, not knowing anything, thought that it would be an app that would watch your phone for suspicious activity, you know, packets moving in and out when you don't want them to. That's what I thought it was going to be. But I do like the second screenshot where it says, turn an extra phone into a motion, sound, vibration, and light detector, watching for unexpected guests and unwanted intruders. I have a Galaxy like S3 sitting around. Yeah, the Galaxy S3. It's got I got a huge battery pack for it. I could leave it plugged in the whole time. Just let it sit somewhere. Watch my dog. I mean, I wouldn't mind watching my dog or whatever, you know, with it. I'm not going to use it. I'm not going to, you know, lock my fortress down with this app, you know, thinking that that's what the end all be all of security for my house. But if I've got an extra thing laying around and I can turn it off when I, you know, when I get home or whatever, I'm down with that. I think I'm going to install it on. It's a great use case for an old one just sitting around doing nothing.
No, actually it's not. All this is an IP camera. Mm-hmm. And it has the ability to access extra sensors. Anybody who's tried to use Android devices for IP cameras in the past has quickly found out everything in that phone is designed for that camera to not be on long periods of time. So go ahead and do this. Don't expect the phone to last a week and a half.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's fair. Now, as far as being new, though, this developer has been around quite a while. They've got...
Well, then my guess is if Snowden developed this, this is not a developer. The Guardian project is nothing more than a gateway, a hub, a publisher.
They've got seven other apps in the store that are all around the same kind of thing. This app just wraps up their little parts together. They got Obscura Cam, Checky, Location Privacy. I don't know.
Yeah, I've never heard of them before.
I haven't either. But they've only got seven apps, so that's probably why we haven't. I don't know. I'll give it a try. I'm always looking for a use for, you know, what I really still want to use for is old Android TV boxes, but this will be good for a use for an old phone though. I don't have a Ring doorbell, so I can't see who's at the front door.
Oh, well, you can always look at the peephole, but yeah.
I don't know. I've never had luck with like, the no IP thing logging into any IP camera I've had before anyway, just keeping that going. I don't have a static IP address, and I'm not smart enough to figure that out.
If you want an IP cam, literally, you can get a Raspberry Pi Zero if you can actually get one. That's the one of the things. For $5, you can get a Raspberry Pi camera for less than $6. You get a battery pack, $25. And because here's one of the things, I cannot find out, and I'm not installing this app because I don't trust it. I'm going to guess. If I'm breaking into your place and I see a phone sitting right next to it, first thing I'm doing is powering the phone off. Okay. So guess what? You're not going to get any more data off of it. If I really am mad, I will crush the phone and break it. And I'm going to guess that this is not uploading your content anywhere. And I don't see in any of the screenshots how you actively monitor.
So it's just recording it for you to look at later.
That's what I'm guessing, which, to be honest, makes it completely pointless. This is like having a video doorbell, and to view it, you got to walk up to your door.
But if...
I mean, I understand how that could be useful, but it's misleading. It's not helping you protect anything. If someone breaks into your house, they turn, they see the camera, they take the camera off, all the evidence is gone.
So it could be a one-off thing. Say, hey, you think somebody's breaking into your house or walking through... You see foot tracks through your yard every Tuesday when you come home from work, and you just you just want to set it up and see who's walking through my yard. You could install this, set it up for a day, come back and then see if it triggered or not. I don't know. I don't mind it. I don't know where Snowden even would come into this at all, but it seems like an okay app. I mean, if you didn't say the Snowden part, I'd be like, oh, that's kind of neat.
Well, I'm partially thinking everything is a lie. Snowden had nothing to do with
this. Yeah, that's just a PR thing.
And these people said, hey, Ed, can we say that you helped to develop this? Because you gave us ideas for it, but you didn't actually code anything because you're not a coder. In fact, you can't even get glasses that fit right, but you're not even a coder. But can we say you helped develop this? And then once someone says they helped develop this, other people then say, oh, Ed Snowden developed an app.
It doesn't.
And that's what I believe happened. The articles that were published said Ed Snowden wrote an app. My guess is he literally had nothing to do with this except say, oh yeah, that sounds cool. And like, you could like monitor the sensors too, and or something like that. So they connected his name to it.
It doesn't say what country they're in, but if they're in our country, they could probably use his name and not really care that what he says, because he's not going to come over here to, you know, bring him to court over it or anything, and, you know, meet him at the courthouse or anything. So they're safe there.
Yeah. I mean, I've never heard of them before. I go to their website. I still cannot tell anything about them. They do not tell me who's paying for this website. They do not tell me anything about them. This almost seems like, you know, 6 months from now, 8 months from now, there's going to be an article. If you installed this app, turns out it was spying on you. Well, I don't know.
You never know about that. That's possible.
These days, you never know, is what I'll say. I only trust these kind of things when they come from truly trusted platforms or independent auditors that I know about or heard about in the past give it their sign of a approval. I don't trust anything that says it's secure. I don't trust anything that says in encryption or anything like that until I hear somebody else say it, because I do not have the ability to look at the application and tell if it's true or not.
Josh in the chat room says that it uploads your data to Amazon, so you'll never get it back.
Wah, wah,
I like, you know, if you guys haven't joined live and you like listening to the show, you should really hang out in the chat room during the show. It's fun.
Well, and it isn't like I purposely wanted to rail that hard against this. I really just wanted to bring up questions, because I don't see any definitive thing about this app except it promising all kinds of stuff, and it looks like a glorified IP cam. But the gimmick is it's not an IP cam because it only records locally. I don't know.
I'll install it and let you know.
I don't know. I keep thinking I could use Servers Ultimate and develop something better myself in 8 minutes or so and not need this app.
Door, speaking of other people you love, I've been reading, I mentioned this to you, I've been reading the biography of Elon Musk lately. Halfway, probably three-quarters of the way through the book. It's a good book. I've learned a lot. I'm really more impressed with Elon Musk.
What did he actually do in PayPal? Tell me one thing he actually did in PayPal.
I don't know. I can't remember. That was an early chapter.
I've never heard anything actually definitive and absolute about anything he actually did at PayPal, except he became rich.
He made a ton of money off it. Yeah, that's what he did.
Yes, well, that doesn't tell me nothing. For all I know, that means he poisoned another guy and he said, I made this. I don't know.
Yeah, no, there's some of that.
Not that he...
I mean, not poison, but yeah, those other people crediting. Anyway, so he owns not only Tesla, but SpaceX. And this app here is called...
Yes, I'm sorry. I was kind of thinking, because there's XPRIZE, which is where he got the name for SpaceX. That's the place where you like dare yourself to beat impossible challenges. And if you're able to do it, you get money.
I think he won one of those prizes from that.
That sounds right. That does sound right. So yeah, he owns SpaceX, the company.
I think
trying to make things.
Didn't he have the capsule that carried people that had the round windows all over it and weird odds places? You know, it's like unevenly distributed windows. All it's like weird looking. You know, I don't know.
It's like the turbo tunnel or whatever.
Anyway, he's now successfully launching rockets and landing them with SpaceX.
Oh yeah.
Which, I every time there's a launch, I watch it. I think he uses webcams amazingly to let everybody see it. It's an amazing time to watch this. I never thought, I'm like, why are we going back to rockets? Like, we had a freaking space shuttle of an airplane that flew up there and came back.
But here's the thing. We need more than rockets. Rockets are antiquated. Rockets are slow. Rockets require a lot of fuel. The fuel is really heavy. We need something better than rockets if we want to take anything seriously with any kind of travel any distance away from our planet.
Seems like we went backwards. But he does.
And that's the thing. The Falcon that just stood upright.
Yeah.
It's funny because if you take a look at the Saturn V, which was back in the 70s, was literally like twice as tall as it, three times as like strong as it, and that was 40 years ago. So his big rocket really isn't that big.
Well, it doesn't need to be, though.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Is your button just bigger than... is your enter button big?
Button.
Anyway, so he doesn't have to be. The one thing I did learn about SpaceX is he, kind of like Tesla, started a car company from the ground up. He didn't know much about rockets either. And basically...
He doesn't know much about cars either. He's having big-ass troubles trying to even deliver.
The guy almost lost everything a few times. But here, he's using actual computers that are, fairly modern in these things. So they don't have to be as huge. They're more efficient. That's how they can land themselves. All the other rockets by NASA and Russia and China, they're still using, 30-year-old computers in them. They're programmed that way. He's using new stuff. It is his intention to colonize Mars. Every intention to do that.
Please don't hold your breath here.
He's got a Tesla Sportster or whatever, the little small car.
The Tesla 3.
Yeah, it's ready to go. He's going to launch that in orbit around Mars. He's got to have something to drive when he gets there, right? Might as well have it there. Anyway, this app is called Space Flight Simulator.
Easy for you.
I've got a lot of simulation games this week, or simulation things. It's a real super simple game. You just build a rocket and launch it and see if you can get it, beat your own score, getting higher into outside of the orbit or whatever, as far off as you can before it falls back to Earth.
Okay, well, the obvious question is, if you've played this, how often has your stuff had catastrophic failures?
Well, the first time I didn't even have it built correctly, and it said, there's no way this thing is going to work. Do you want to launch anyway? I'm like, oh, yeah. I couldn't even get the engines to light. Now, the second time was fairly successful. The third time, I forgot to attach. I had the new Falcon 29 rocket or whatever, with the three, stages, two on both sides and a big one in the middle. And I forgot to attach them, side stages to the, to the main rocket.
Oh.
Yeah, so they just fired off and fell right over.
Yeah,
and,
that's entertaining.
That was my biggest crash so far.
Well, yeah, because I asked because logically, if this was easy, we would have been doing this in the 1800s or 1700s. This is really complicated, and the window of success is teeny tiny, really small. So I would expect there to be a lot of explosions or failures or something like that. I will say I like the idea of showing people the depth of breadth of how far like the Earth is to the moon alone, because that's not close. I really like the idea of showing people that landing in the video, at least, is way too easy. The simple fact that he has a rocket that can separate and the lower half come back and land in virtually the exact spot he wants it to is near amazing. The only reason I say it's near and not totally amazing is because he's done it repetitively. So it can't be amazing. Look at the definition of the word. It's awesome. It's cool. It's hard. He has that pretty much down, which is awesome.
Yeah,
nothing about this is easy. The one thing he said he learned, which showed me the initial comprehension of what it actually meant to shoot things up that high, was what he found out early on in the math was you're never perpendicular to the ground. When you shoot anything into space, you never shoot perpendicular to the ground. It's too complex. It's too hard. It requires too much fuel. And the only reason I know this, Cape Canaveral, Florida space shuttle launch 1994, maybe 95, working midnight shift by the Baltimore Harbor Tunnel. Midnight shift, literally midnight shift, like getting there at midnight, working till 6-8 in the morning. And I was told by my dad, look up at 12:30 or 1:30 in the morning, look south into the bay, into the sky, look up and just stand there for 5 minutes and keep looking up. And I did. And I saw a dot in the sky go over my head and go straight to the north. And I'm like, what the hell was that, Dad? He said, that was the space shuttle.
Huh.
Wow. Launch from Florida, and it doesn't go up because it's much too hard. You have to take it in a gradual increase parallel to the Earth. The real orbit is you're going sideways fast enough that when gravity's pulling you in, you're already outrunning gravity going around the curvature of the Earth. So when you're up a little bit, in reality, very little bit, orbiting the Earth, you're actually going parallel as most of your force, not perpendicular to the Earth. And he said that was unbelievably hard to get right in the very beginning.
Yeah, I can. It would be. I mean, the rocket scientists, because they're smart.
There's a reason why the phrase is, well, that's not rocket science.
Yeah, I don't. Because I don't think I'm going to get tired of watching rockets land for a while. I mean, at some point, I'm going to be like, yeah, okay, they landed another rocket, but it's going to be a dozen or so more before I'm really tired of watching that happen.
Yeah, I'll say I'm listening to one podcast right now. If you've ever heard of the movie Paper Towns, the author of that book turned into a movie. He's a semi-successful young adult author, John Green. Him and his brother have a podcast called Dear Hank and John. And the running bet is one of them says Elon Musk will have people on or orbiting, I believe it is on or orbiting Mars by 2028.
Mm.
And the other brother bet, no, he will never get that done. And the actual thing in the wager is if he doesn't make it, they're going to rename the podcast Dear Hank and John instead of Dear John and Hank. because, you know, that's
edgy,
you know,
man.
A good bet. It's a good bet. And the one brother created a Twitter account called, I think it is like Milan Usk. Instead of Elon Musk, it's like something, and all he does all the time is just say how he's not going to make it, he can't make it, this is too complex. But it's literally a friendly rib, and it's actually a kind of funny Twitter account, is what I'm going to say. But
I bet
I'm hard on Elon for one reason alone. He needs to prove that in 20 years, 40 years, 60 years, 80 years, people should know his name. That's what I really want for Elon Musk. I want, in 60, 80 years from now, my kids, grandkids in school to be taught the name Elon Musk, because I would love him to be that impactful.
Yeah.
But creating an electric car is not going to do it.
If there's somebody buying
your brother's solar panel company ain't going to do it.
Well, he bought into the Tesla car company too. I mean, it was not him.
No. That was his ground up.
No.
Well, he took his PayPal money and he built it up to what it is.
He joined some people and who were into electric cars. He was not into it at the time.
Well, he wasn't the guy doing the actual work. He was the guy that said, I like the idea.
Yeah. I think if anybody that I can think of right now, other than, you know, presidents.
Bill Gates is going to go down in history much more right now impactful than Elon Musk. Because what he's doing to disease and suffering around the world is kind of unparalleled in the history of man.
I hope so.
Time will tell. That's the whole
thing. Him, Steve Jobs. But I think Elon could be up there.
Oh, Jobs' name is going to be forgotten in a couple of years.
Yeah.
He did nothing. He literally did nothing. He was a salesman who wore a turtleneck and jeans.
Yeah, but everywhere's turtlenecks and jeans now.
No. In the eyes of history, will look at him as a foolish man who was nothing more than a salesman who didn't believe in modern science and paid the ultimate sacrifice for it.
Druggy, hippie.
Well, and a very stinky druggy in his young age, yes. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Apple did some magnificent things. He had very little to actually do with them, except threaten people's existence to get it done.
Hey, speaking of drugs, did you guys get a lot of snow today then, where you're at?
Less than an inch. School was off, though, so the kids were
nice.
Happy.
All right.
That's all that really matters. The kids were happy, right?
Yep. The snow days are good.
Yeah, sure.
Did you go to work?
I didn't want to. It turned out at 6 a.m. they enabled liberal leave, which means I can just call up and say, I don't feel like coming in.
Not liberals leave? That'd be a fun thing. Hey, Blues, get out of here.
Yeah. No. Liberal means you can use any kind of leave on demand without prior approval. But I didn't know that until I was in the car with the wife, nearly got T-boned by a snowplow, and then figured out I didn't even have to be in this car.
Oh, what car were you supposed to? Because you had liberal leave.
I could have been in bed asleep. But I went to work and it was pretty quiet and yeah.
All right, Dor.
Well, I did one successful thing today. I got myself a couple monsters.
Like a case of them?
Mm-mm.
Just a couple?
Yeah,
like a 2 for $3.50 deal at Casey's.
Two for four is the cheapest I can find them. I buy 10 packs at now my local Redner's grocery store. 10 for $12.99 I think it is.
That's a deal, man. Yeah. White, or do they have others?
White or citrus, sunshine, the orange, whatever it's called.
Man, if you're listening to this show and you've never tried the Monster sugar ones,
leave them for me.
Don't try them.
Don't try them. Leave more for me to buy.
Oh. I don't want anybody. Yeah, to buy. White Monsters are great. Just the white sugar-free Monsters.
Yeah, and that's why I drink them. I drink this and water, nothing else, because there's zero sugars. And in a whole can, there's 4 grams of carbs. It's hard to beat that. Yeah. I had someone try to say, what about all the other stuff that's in it? What other stuff in it? You mean like caffeine? I kind of like caffeine.
What about taurine? It's got taurine in it. What's that? You don't even know what that is.
I don't need to know what it is. Do you know the number of chemicals that are in a banana?
No, I don't.
Seriously.
I don't.
If any of those people who tell me about those ingredients, I send them the ingredients of a banana. And I say, and I just send them the ingredients. And I say, what do you think about this?
Oh, would you drink
horrible,
that?
Disgusting. Blah, 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 blah. Dude, it's a banana. And then I show them. They're like, oh. I said, the only reason you fear this is because by law, they have to say the ingredients. A banana doesn't. Nor does a strawberry or an orange or an apple or a piece of steak. People are weird. But I like South Africans.
Yeah. Yeah. They're pretty British. What do you got? What's your next outdoor?
Oh, okay. What I got next is, let me just do a quick tap. Okay. Two things I want to mention first is, if you are a believer in archiving for history's sake, video games, the lineage of video games, the history of video games, here's the for instance I'm going to give you. Right now, you cannot buy the original Spy Hunter game on NES anywhere. You can't. You can only buy it in the resale market. If the creators of the game had the opportunity, they would make it illegal for you to resell the game because they only want new purchases. Thus, when you go into a store and you buy it, you're actually getting right now a very finite piece of history in your hand that no one can duplicate legally. And for you to actually experience it, you have to go buy the actual game. I'm a firm believer in documenting these things for history's sake. So in 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, people can actually experience what it meant to play Pong, what it actually meant to play Super Mario Brothers, what it actually meant to play Duck Hunt, these kind of things. And not for piracy's sake, not because I want to pirate them, but because it's a legacy that needs to be taught. We need to understand the history of games, understand where games are at now, and then where games can go in the future kind of thing. The guy who makes this emulator that I'm going to bring called Master Gear SMSGG emulator with his Sega Master System Game Gear emulator by Garage Research Emulators, $4.99. I hate the Sega Master System. I think it's a horrible console. The Game Gear maybe had 2 good games on it. I think it's a horrible system that sucked down batteries, like literally 2 hours of gameplay. You had to replace the batteries in it. But the guy behind this, the actual individual man behind this, has created some of the most epic, groundbreaking emulators in the history of emulators. So I bought this for $4.99 for one reason, to support him. If you go click through the developer and you go look at his website, you can see he's made more than a couple emulators. And I learned about this from a podcast or a YouTube channel called Retro RGB. Not family friendly whatsoever. Okay. But he often has people on the show, or he often goes into deep dives into the actual technical aspects of the old consoles or old arcade machines, and tells you how to take one of these old consoles, tweak it to get better results out of it, better colors, better refresh rates, you know, different resolutions even sometimes, and things like that. He tells you how you can mod things so you can, you know, fully understand the full capabilities of these consoles. And everything he talks about is not for the sake of piracy. It's for the sake of wanting to document the history of these systems. He He's the one who told me about this emulator, so I immediately went out and bought it. You got to support people who support you. I've used emulators in the past multiple times. I have never paid for them before Android, and it's about time I start paying for what I used in the past. So I went and bought.
Does it have Chromecasting abilities where you can somehow get it onto your TV?
Not that I'm aware of.
But maybe you don't. Maybe these games you don't want to.
Well, I mean, I'll say this. You can always use a Miracast, M-I-R-R-A, if your phone supports it. But in that case, you don't need a Chromecast. You need something that supports Miracast. So you could always do that. The problem most of the time with projecting these onto a TV via Wi-Fi is it introduces some amount of lag.
Yeah.
And it's hard to actually play them sometimes.
Now, does the emulator come with any of these free games? Or
oh,
it comes.
No.
You don't have to go. So it's not just the emulator when you buy it. There's some content.
Yeah. No. They cannot give content with these games, or they will be immediately taken down and
it says one of the screenshots is a public domain game from SMSP or SMSPower.org.
So somebody did a custom ROM hack.
I didn't know if like even like those ones were already on there just to give you, you know, something to go off of before you go searching.
I don't know. It looks like there is a 3D demo and possibly, yeah, something going on. But if anyone's downloading these, they're downloading these because they want to play DuckTales Lucky Dime or something. You know, one of those games that no one knows about because it was Sega Master System or Game Gear. And they really want to play it. What I encourage you is if you want to support these kind of people, click on the developer, go through, and you'll see he's done Game Boy Advance emulators, ColecoVision emulators, Texas Instrument Calculators emulators, NES emulators, Game Boy emulators, you know, Sinclair emulators. Oh, my.
The Timex Sinclair 1000. You know,
yeah, so you can choose how to support them. I just went and just bought this one just to buy it.
You know what? Instead of the Snowden app, you could just take an old phone that you got sitting in the drawer, install this emulator on it, and then install your TI calculator on it, and then you just saved yourself $10 because then you don't have to buy a $15 calculator.
Well, some of those calculators are literally like $60-$80, so
yeah. So and it probably won't steal your identity or spy on you or anything.
I would be incredibly shocked if this thing did anything except play the old games.
Right, no, I agree. Nice. The only screenshot that I really like is the one with the up in the corner. It's got a bunch, it almost looks like a centipede of 3D-ish balls. It's like 3D demo, that one. That looks like, I don't know if that's a game or not, but it looks pretty cool.
No, it's just
it's
a
like Amiga,
demo
like
showing off.
Like drawn on an Amiga back in high school.
Yeah, it's just verifying the capability. So when you install this and you run that, you can verify that everything will run smooth on it. Because some emulators, you install them, and they don't run great. So the logic is you pay money for this, you download this, you quickly run that, and if it runs fine, you should be able to run every Master System or Game Gear game with very little to no issue.
Hey, Dor, do we have time now to do our sponsor, our second sponsor of the night? First one was obviously Monster Energy. Second one,
and we also have an email.
Second one is a great website and app that you can find great deals on. If you've listened to other podcasts, you might know what I'm about to say, but
don't even say it.
DealNews.com.
Oh, okay. I like DealNews.
Yeah, DealNews had a. Well, the only reason I brought it up is because I was wondering if you replaced your chair yet.
Oh. No, but miraculously.
What? You got the bounce chair?
No. See, I one time sat on both my knees and I bowed in a certain direction to it and I said some magical, mystical words and the spaghetti monster going around the dark side of Mars blessed me with the non squeaky chair. And then as soon as I mentioned his name, damn.
Okay. Anyway, so DealNews had, and DealNews isn't a sponsor. We don't have any sponsors right now. We do have a Patreon. You should probably, you know, throw us a couple bones so Dor can get a non-squeaky chair. Anyway, though, they had the Guyam ball chairs on sale somewhere.
Oh, God.
What? No, that's the one you need, man. You can bounce up and down like Mark Cockrell.
No, I'm not. No. Okay, I'm not 12. I don't need anything to encourage my ADD.
Good for your posture.
No. You know what's good for your posture?
Standing.
Not sitting down.
But if you have to sit, it's good for your posture. No, I had a dentist.
No. That's like saying, well, if you got to do heroin, you might as well. No.
Black tar, man. If you got to do it. I don't know what that means.
Neither do I. I'd let it go. So you have a Deal News app. Is it the official DealNews.com Inc?
I just want to let you know that the Guy M chairs were on sale.
I don't care. No. I got no money. No, I'm getting ready to go to a trip in Podfest, Orlando. I got to save
But they're on
money.
Sale. Okay. Anyway, I don't care. We do have an email. Jesse, he wrote us, and anybody else who wants to email us, where do they do that at? Mail at podnuts.com?
AAA@podnuts.com. Same one it's been for like 490 episodes, Eric.
494. Hey, Dor, Eric, and Mark. Just a thought about the app to make bookmarks on your phone for apps like Facebook. And he's probably talking about the one you brought a couple weeks ago.
Hermit. Yeah.
Says, I do the same thing without an app on Chrome. If you log into whatever site, like Facebook, on the Chrome browser, then click the three-dot menu and hit Add Shortcut to Desktop, it will put an icon on your desktop, and my Facebook one actually has the correct F logo. You can later deny notifications of what you want from that website. Hope this helps.
Yeah, that definitely works. I will say Hermit has a couple other features. I'm not going to say Hermit's better, because it's another app, and most people don't want another app. I will say that. Hermit does have some nice features, like built-in ad blocker, things like that. It does have some customization, stuff like night mode, so you can have your regular Chrome look regular, but you can have this look night mode. And if you launch a web page, it won't overtake your Chrome browser. If you want less apps, it's much easier to use it in Chrome. Much easier to use it in Chrome. The only reason I'm using Hermit is I isolated my activity. Like, some people have an iPad to watch Netflix and then a laptop to do work email. I have 5 browsers installed on my phone for different use cases. This is the one I open up Amazon links in.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the one that I go to podnuts.com in, go to amazon.com in. This is the one I use for Google Plus. This is the one that I use when I use Twitter. I have my task separated out. I'll say that. And real quick mention, the Google for Work thing. Zoke reminded me there's an easy way to initiate the Google for Work environment in your Android phone. Part of the problem with this is, depending on the phone, there's different ways to get it started. The easiest way is to download an app we brought a while ago called Island, ISLAND. The dirty secret is Island does nothing. Island is like an app that gives you shortcuts to deep features inside Android. So you simply load Island and say, I want to create a new island of Facebook Messenger. And then voila, it initiates your Google Work profile, has a Google Work Google Play icon, so a different Google Play store, basically. And then it has that app that you chose isolated in Google for Home. That's how I first got my Google for Work initiated. So if you wanted to try that and keep your apps isolated from your normal Android activities, Island is a very easy way to do it.
I totally forgot about it. I don't remember that one at all.
It was at least a month ago, probably 2 months ago, maybe 5 months ago or so. The good thing about Island is after you install it, after you use it to get things initiated, you can technically uninstall it because, again, it doesn't really do anything. It's just the gateway to do things. Like, I have multiple instances of,
you have a critical package required. That's critical, what she said.
Chrome. Yeah. Well, I'm going to ignore that because I don't even want this browser to be able to work. So like right now I have, cause I have my pro Voxer account. I have my free Voxer account. So I have 2 versions of Voxer installed. I have the Hangouts involved. I have a completely separate contacts app. That contacts app has none of my contacts in it. It's empty. So when Facebook scans my contacts, it gets nothing.
Oh, I see how you're playing that. Yeah. Okay. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. And it has its own Google Play framework and its own Google Play store. So there's no history of my apps installed or anything. This is like having 2 logins on your computer kind of thing. Or actually like a dual boot scenario on your computer. The only difference is you can access these at the same time. Yeah. So Island made it easy. I will say that.
I didn't look. I should look for the Island app. We'll throw that in there too. I'll do that now.
Yeah. Just called Island. Very first one. Island Unreleased is the app name.
Okay.
By Oasis Fung Fang.
Oasis Fang. Yeah.
Bang.
Unreleased still. Oh, we both put it there. Double it up. Door, do you have, or you're not going to consider that your app, are you?
Sure, why
okay.
not?
All right, I will bring one. And this one, I'm going to say Richard Quirin gave us this app, or gave me this app, in the Google Plus AAA community. This is called Physics Simulation Building Destruction. Like I said, there's a lot of sim apps this week. And it's by Mountain Rooting. Basically, this is where you can, there's like these buildings, stick structures, and you just launch bowling balls at them and knock them down. It's like a totally fun, I just want to destroy something real quick. There's, I think, 12 different things you can toss bowling balls at to destroy. And you kind of see the physics going on when you hit them. If you hold down on the screen, it like rapid fires bowling balls at them, so it's fun. The very last number 12 is bowling pins. Now it starts out in Chinese. You got to kind of read through the Chinese to get to the settings to change the language. But I played it in Chinese for a while until I even realized that you could change it to a different language.
I mean, the real thing I would say is, do you have to change it? I mean, is it unplayable until you change it?
No, I was fine with the Chinese. I just wasn't, you know, once I learned what buttons do what, it was totally fine.
Yeah, that's what I thought as well. Why change it? It makes it more authentic as far as I'm concerned. Just keep tapping buttons.
Yep.
Yeah, to me, this was a good way to let some frustrations out is the way I put it.
Do you want me to empty my tank? I only got one more, I think.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, thank you, Mark. I'm going to bring, he's the official let us empty the tank guy, and we're going to say thank you to him because we know in spirit he would be saying yes. He'd be like, oh, we're over an hour. Let's do this. Okay. Derby Destruction Simulator. One more demolition derby.
This has your name
It's so fun, man. This game is fun. Now, I haven't got very far in it yet. I haven't even leveled up to the second course. Or a new car. But this just brings me back in the day, man. In fact, I actually just disassembled all of my Demolition Derby trophies because they were taking up too much room next to the fireplace, and I wanted to put a TV there. So I tore them all apart and made a mega trophy. One trophy to basically represent all the times I won at car shows and Demolition Derbies. And I got spare.
And for the listeners... He doesn't mean pretend derbies or arcade derbies. He talks about getting in an actual car and hitting other people and getting trophies.
Oh, yeah, and spending months ahead of time disassembling the car, taking the windows out, welding here and there, you know.
Oh, this looks like fun.
Putting a gas tank into the back seat where that used to be. There was a lot of work to it. It was a lot of fun. I was blessed. I used to have a car repair shop. Would give me a car every year. So I just had to put their name on the side of it, and I was a driver of it, and I'd go out to hang out at their shop and tear it apart and get it ready.
Well, here's the only thing I don't think is completely right. In the video, these guys keep driving forward.
Oh, is there a video? I didn't even know.
There's a video. I mean, don't you want to drive backwards and hit people with the back of your car?
Definitely. Absolutely.
Oh, okay, I wasn't sure if I was some kind of amateur noob believing... some kind of fake thing about destruction derbies. I always thought you want to hit people with the back.
Yeah, they're using
the
front of their car. They are the noob. You were absolutely correct.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right. I'm watching the video now, and that's not how you do it. And there's penalties for hitting the driver's door. You start out with a flag or a stick, and they'll break your stick if you hit somebody right in the driver's door. I never got seriously injured the whole time. I never really saw anybody.
Good.
Huh?
Good.
You could.
Well, I'm happy you have.
I'm done. I don't do it. My friends still do. They still do that, and they've got little races like at the speedway. It's called a tollway race. They have like 200 cars on the racetrack at the same time, and they get a tollway set up, and everybody has to pull up through the tollway, like throw a coin in, and then drive again.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah. So the whole
that's crazy.
They get all bunched up. They also have. You're familiar with trailer races?
don't think I
am. It's you take trucks or SUVs on a racetrack, but all the trucks they have to pull a trailer of some type. Sometimes it's a camper. Oh. Sometimes it's a car trailer. Sometimes it's a car trailer with a full hot tub.
That has catastrophe written
all
over.
And then it's a figure eight track.
Oh.
It's a mess, but it's a fun mess to watch, man. And there was one time that this person had this huge fifth wheel trailer, and it jackknifed, and it was covering the whole track. Pretty soon, all the cars just start pounding and just driving right through the middle of it. They just decide to blast through it.
Pylon.
It's crazy. Anyway, Derby Destruction Simulator by Dragon Smile Company. E for everyone, 10 plus. It's a fun game if you like smashing cars.
Very cool. We've talked long enough. It's installed on my phone.
Nice.
Already.
You got any more in your tank door tonight?
Nope. I got too many. We're not even going to go there. What I will say is thank you to CT Tech Guy, Highlander, Black Death, Dragon Mirror, E. Kim, Foolish Brantley, Guy in the Tub, thank you, Ivor, I believe I finally said his name
Monster,
right.
Monster
JT,
Energy.
Monster Energy. Kinda Asking, JT Lively, SCJ, The Last Known God. Yes, his handle is The Last Known God, and he is a awesome human being. Ironically, he's an awesome human being. And Turnover for joining us all in the chat tonight. Technically, they're all in the room. Technically, 90% of them are just quietly in the background.
But the ones who are here are loud, and they keep me laughing through the show. So if I snicker and Dor didn't say something funny, that's usually because I'm reading what they're talking about. And we do have the after show where we kind of hang out for a little while with them, and they will decide our show title with us. They help us figure out the...
Well, no. You know if they do, because the show title has an ounce of imagination and thought put into it. Because if I name the show, it's typically very poorly done.
Correct.
Well, and if you want to join us Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern time, New York time, on podnos.com, you can just click on live, go to Android App Addicts, or you can follow us on Twitter, or you can follow us on Google+. We announce when that happens. Also, Podnuts in Your Pocket will notify you if Caleb is awake. He just got married.
Caleb just got married?
We lost another good man, is what I want to say. No, nothing but the best. He's unbelievably happy. I'm so ballistically happy for him. I honestly wish I knew the wedding was going to happen, because I would have loved to tell the wife I'm taking off of work or whatever, driving down, standing up front of the church, so when he comes out and goes into the limo, I'm sitting there, congratulations, waving.
That would have been
cool. Because it would have made my day, but I also think it would have made his day, because he's awesome. So I want to thank Caleb again for that application, Podnuts in Your Pocket.
Congrats, Caleb.
Great app. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I want to thank everyone for their support. Thank Jesse for the email. Thank everyone else for the emails. Do not forget, you can send us a voicemail very easily, 7076-PODNUT. Send us a voicemail. We'll be happy to play it live on the air. The other thing I want to put out there is I want to encourage people. We, as podcast listeners, I'm more a listener than I am a creator. I subscribe to 139 podcasts. I'm actually closer to being one of you people listening than anybody else you listen to. I have no problem saying that out loud. I relate with you. I understand you. And the one thing I want to tell you guys is we need to make sure that we patronize podcasters who support other podcasters. If you know of another podcaster out there that helps other people out, that looks out for the little guy, that helps, you know, other people get their feed set up, or just helps promote other people because they're cool, don't hesitate to give me their information, because I will do everything in my power to support them monetarily or any way that I can to make them even better. The goal of podcasting is to make everybody else a better podcasting. My goal is to not be an elitist. My goal is not to be the number one podcasting network of all time. My goal is not to be stinking rich. My goal is not to defeat other podcasters. Podnuts' goal is to help everybody enjoy the platform, grow the platform, get better at the platform, and give everybody out there everything they could possibly imagine in audio form or video form at their whim. It needs to be easily accessible. It needs to be freely accessible. and we can all help each other get better. And if you people out there know anybody that I can support that can get better or that can help me get better, please let me know at aaa@podnuts.com.
Okay, before we send off, I'm going to read it down our apps. Island by Oasis Feng. We had Derby Destruction Simulator by Dragon Smile Company. We had Haven Keep Watch Beta, Master Gear SMS GG Emulator, Outings Discover Beautiful Places, Space Flight Simulator, BBTAN 2 by 222%, Fluctuate Universal Price Tracker, and I may have missed one or two. Do you know of any other ones, Dor, that I'm not saying? Oh,
BBTAN Fluctuate
Physics Simulation outing, Building Destruction. Haven. I forgot about that one.
Yes, and that should be
that's
it.
Yeah, and thank you for the chat room for reminding me to do that. And for the new year, if I have any resolution, it's to thank the listeners, you know, more often for listening to us. I really appreciate it. You guys listening makes me come back to do this. And broadcasting something I was always, you know, always wanted to do, never got a chance to do it in radio. I think I actually reach more people this way, though. And I just appreciate your feedback and just tuning in and listening to us babble about apps. And we will see you next week on the Android App Addicts podcast. Thanks.
My name is Jeff Hallish. I'm the host of Podnuts Daily, where we interview real people who are working in the computer repair field. I would like to invite you to check out the shows to learn what other computer repair techs are doing. If you would like to be a guest on the show, then contact me at guest@podnuts.com. Podnuts Daily, where it's fun to talk tech.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.